Hello, friends, and welcome back to Like Anime. My name is George, your humble host, and with me, your co-host, Tony.
It's too much. It's comedic.
Good. I'm trying to turn heads.
Oh, okay.
Turn heads over here.
All right.
Wake up. It's anime. Tony's on the mic.
Boop, ch, boop, booch, boop, booch. Actually, what is the what was the Carrie Pamu Pamu thing? Tsukuchi, right? I think of the tsukuchi. I can't do it. But you remember that song?
Yes.
I played it for you a week ago.
Yes, I do remember. It's got that, 90s, hard-edged techno throwback.
Yeah. I really like that song.
Yeah.
It is probably my second favorite Carrie Pamu Pamu song. The intro to that album, if it were longer, would probably be my favorite because it's got like that hard house thing, you know? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm off topic, sort of. I mean, it's Carrie Pamu Pamu, so how far off topic is that?
Yeah, there's something there.
It's less than 6 degrees, I think, right?
Now let's talk about the Canadian rock band Rush.
Okay. That's probably... How many degrees off is that? I mean, Carrie Pamu Pamu is less than 6. Definitely not even approaching 6.
Probably only 2.
Right, because we've got...
They did all those Sailor Moon
anime
songs.
And then we've got, Japanese pop music, of which Carrie Pamu Pamu was part of. So that's like 1-2 degrees, right?
Oh, wait, no, that wasn't them. That was someone else. Dang it. Confusing these bands.
I don't know. What did you say?
I thought it was them who did a bunch of Sailor Moon songs.
Oh, I doubt that. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang it. But anyway.
Anyway, so Carrie Pamu Pamu is only like 2 degrees separated from anime.
Oh, that's the
in my estimation.
Momoiro Clover. That's what I was thinking of.
Momoiro Clover?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Different.
Yeah. Peach-colored clover.
Whoopsie.
Or thigh-colored clover, maybe? I don't know. I only know 2 meanings for Momo. And those are the 2. Peach or thigh. And if you're going to say Momoiro, then I would think peach-colored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. But
yay, I've won the Japanese language award.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in.
I'm gonna take this award that I've won. I'm gonna treasure it until the end of time. Yep.
Cool.
That's all I got to say.
Well, let's segue, shall we?
Those are expensive, aren't they? And aren't they really hard to operate? Like you just sort of lean forward, lean back. I don't know. I don't know how to drive one, George. You're gonna have to teach me.
Derailing. It's on the loose.
Segways aren't on tracks, George. How can you derail them?
Dear listener, I'm writing to you from a deep, dark well, metaphorically. We watched a movie.
We did?
Yeah.
Nice segue.
We have a... Thanks, I just got it.
It's really smooth.
Yeah, for what I paid for it, better be. We Tony and I are part of a movie night that has been around. We've done it for like 5 or 6 years now.
We watch movies with a few of our friends every Saturday.
Yes.
Most Saturdays.
Yeah, pretty dang consistently. I mean, I've certainly missed my fair share of nights, but
some people are more consistent than others, but
the show tends to go on.
We don't need to point fingers.
I mean, yeah, I did, but that's fine. But anyway, we watched, it was your turn and you picked this movie last Saturday.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And well, the reason is because we had a screener.
Yeah, that's true.
Screener from
Animation is Film Festival.
That's right.
This is another Studio 4 Degrees C film, and 11 Arts, I think, is the other company, production company that
I
was
think
on
so.
It.
Yeah.
So another Japanese production that was in this Animation is Film Festival that we weren't able to attend, but they sent us links for screeners, so we're watching them.
Yeah, checking it out. If you missed last week's episode, we covered a film called Fortune Favors Lady Nikiko.
Mm-hmm.
And we quite enjoyed it. And so we thought...
It's quite a good movie.
Yeah. And I had fun talking about it. And this time we thought we'd check out this other movie, which is called... what is it called? Pupel the Chimney Town or something like that?
Pupel of Chimney Town?
Of Chimney Town.
Or in Chimney Town? I don't
something.
Remember.
Something about Pupel and Chimney Town.
Yes. Yes. Those are two important things in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you miss out on Pupel and you miss out on Chimney Town, you've pretty much missed the whole movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for this screener, I guess we should say that, you know, it's an advanced screener, and a lot of times they have watermarks on them.
Right.
You know, which makes sense. As for just, you know, illegal distribution or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or unauthorized, I should say. But this one, the other one we watched was minimal, but this one was kind of egregious. Like, it was not covering the entire screen, but it was covering enough surface area of the screen that was hard to avoid. I think eventually I was tuning it out, but it took a while.
Yeah, yeah. It took longer than the other one. And also it was, what did they call it? Color
something? It was like color... It didn't say corrected or something, but it was something like
that. Well, it's the opposite of corrected.
Yeah. Like, and the colors looked very muted, a lot of grays, a lot of drab kind of colors.
It was very sepia toned. I think they took a lot of blue out of it is what it looked like to me.
And I think,
and they we could have color corrected it on the TV, but we didn't. So we just watched it in this sort of bland yellow format that it was presented to us as.
Which probably isn't fair to the actual finished product. And to, you know, they could have just went with one or the other, like egregious watermarks,
right?
Or changing the color scheme. So yeah, I don't know. Those are the caveats going in, but I will say I wasn't super impressed. Like, it was just kind of okay. And I think
even despite the desaturation and the yellowing of everything, like, it looked pretty good. Like, there were some gorgeous shots in there.
Yeah, there's some good shots.
Despite that, so probably in proper color would have looked even better.
Yeah.
But then, the animation style was a little, you know, its own sort of thing, I suppose.
Yeah.
Which I didn't find really objectionable, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like it had some, like, you could tell there was something there. There was some heart to it, and there was some good, like, comical moments. Like, I chuckled a little bit.
Mm.
But then there was a lot of weird editing choices where, like, in the very beginning, we're introduced to this titular character who's this kind of garbage monster robot kind of guy.
Yeah.
And we see him kind of emerge from in the sewer, the garbage, and so you get that. And then it just inexplicably and kind of awkwardly cuts to this Halloween celebration. Mm-hmm. We didn't know it was Halloween. We didn't know there was a celebration going on.
Well, so they were telling us.
But it immediately just cuts to, like, what looks like a cheap music video. Like, there was no, like, establishing shot of, like, this Halloween's going on and, like, you know, this is the street.
Right.
It just immediately went to, like, a frontal shot of these, like, you know, Halloween characters dancing and singing. Like,
right, dove right into the production number. Yeah.
Yeah. There was no setup or segue.
This is Halloween. That. This is Halloween.
Yeah. Halloween.
Something like that, right?
Yeah. Halloween Town something. And yeah, that was the part of the refrain.
Yeah.
And so it was like
that song was written by Hyde.
Oh,
written
yes.
and performed and produced or something. I don't know, by Hyde of Lark and Ciel. Which they did the intro theme for GTO.
Great Teacher Onizuka.
Yeah, which we love. Anyway.
And they're also kind of a legendary Japanese rock band. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, we both love GTO. So, And it's an anime podcast. So
yeah,
there you
anime.
Go.
I made one degree of separation. I mean, anime to anime. I guess it's 0 degrees, actually. So anyway.
If you want to see a pervert warm your heart and the hearts of others. Check it out.
No, that's, I guess. I mean, he's not that perverted, really. I wouldn't describe.
It's an oversimplification, but
yeah, I would.
He definitely has tendencies.
Yeah. I just think describing him as a pervert is he is much less than
he's perceived as that.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah. But he's much less than, like, Golden Boy, for example.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Mushoku Tensei, for example, right?
Yeah.
He's way more toned down than either of those examples.
That's true.
So, I don't know.
That's true. But it's kind of...
He's into high school girls. That's it. He's just looking.
He's not...
Touching.
A criminal. He's just a pervert. Yeah.
I mean, pervert sounds almost criminal.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
We're all perverted to some degree, though, I think.
Speak for yourself. I'm a Christian soldier.
Just going to let that hang there. Soak it in.
You keep saying things that I want to make dirty jokes about.
Yes, but you can't because you're a Christian soldier. Yes, but anyway, so the poop hell, like, just some weird editing choices. Like, one of our movie night buddies, she liked it a lot. We've subjected her to a lot of anime throughout the course of that. But she really liked the simple art style of it. Like, it had this kind of 3D rendering going on, but the character design was not overtly anime. Like, you wouldn't know that it was like Japanese animation
by
looking at it.
Yeah.
And she kind of liked that. I think it wasn't like crazy and it was going for more grounded, even though it has these elements of, you know, garbage robot monster. And
right.
It's not really a monster. I mean, they just call him that, but
story wise though, it's just a kid's movie. Like there's not much there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of those,
all pretty obvious.
They hit all those beats of, like, you know, what you would expect of that kind of movie, you know?
Right.
Sort of a tale of I don't know.
A kid.
Yeah. And he's like, so this robot runs into this kid, and this kid's whole story is literally just like he has no friends and he works
It's a chimney sweep.
Yeah. And he's afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Which is a much later reveal. But yeah, so it's like they didn't do much to flesh out the characters. I think that was probably intentional, but
Like I say, it's a kid's movie. You don't really need to have fleshed out characters or much character depth at all for kids. They don't care. They just want them to say funny things and you know, make jokes that they get.
Yeah.
Which they did. They did all of those things. Kind of wish we had watched it with a kid or two.
Yeah, we almost did, but we started late.
Yeah.
And the kid went to bed.
Yeah.
But shout out to the kid.
What's up, kid?
But yeah, so I don't know. I don't. It was okay. I don't want to like.
Would be I cruel. Recommend this I to fans of anime? If they have kids, maybe.
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 But it's not really. It's more for the kids.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Some movies.
But it's not bad to look at. It's not like, I don't know. Like, it's not on, like, Lion King level of, like, you know, there's something more there for the adults to watch.
Yeah.
As well. It really is just a kid's movie, but it's not annoyingly a kid's movie like some kid's movies that I've seen recently, anyway.
I guess so. I guess that's true. Yeah, it's
not as much annoyingly a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's not excruciating to watch, but I will say that it was one of those movies, because some movies you watch and like they're whatever length, but it could be like a 2-hour movie, but it doesn't feel like that. Mm-hmm. This to me was the opposite, where it was only 1 hour and 40 minutes, and it felt a lot longer.
Yeah, I did fall asleep at one point.
Oh, did you?
Actually, at 3 points.
I wasn't checking the clock or anything, but I had the thought several times throughout it of like, is this going to be the end? Are we here? Like, I kept wanting it to be over.
I mean, some of that is just the inherent story problems with making a movie for kids, where story isn't actually that important.
Yeah.
But I
do think it could be like post editing wise, like it could be like tightened up. You know, I think
that's true.
I think there's something there to work with. That if this was like a rough draft, you know, I'd be like, oh yeah, you know. You're almost there, you know, like you just gotta kind of, tighten it up a little bit. And there certainly could be some fleshing out of like character stuff, but,
but for a kid's
movie, that'd be a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fine. You know, I mean, I'm sure kids would like it, honestly.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of anime, it's not really an anime. I mean, it sort of is, but not really.
Yeah.
It's sort of removed from what you think of as anime.
Yeah.
If you are a kid or have kids, they will probably enjoy it. You or they will probably enjoy it if you're a kid. You know what I'm saying?
you know.
If you like, I don't know, story, it's probably not your thing. Like if you're trying to watch it for like a good story, it's all really obvious. Like it does have that heartwarming aspect to it, I suppose, you know, but it's all really obvious. Yeah.
Probably something to just have on if you want. Yeah. You know, not to pay that close attention to it.
Get a couple edibles.
Not with the kids.
No, no, not for the kids. Yeah. For the adults.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the kids shouldn't have edibles.
The parents probably shouldn't be on edibles around the kids.
I mean, if they have to watch this movie, they probably should be.
So if you're okay doing edibles around your kids, I think it's a go. I think you're good on all accounts.
Yeah, you are the target demographic, I think.
You could there's definitely better choices, but if you want to put it in that category, I think it's good to go.
All right. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
What's next?
What's next, buddy? So yeah, there's a bunch of summer. Oh wait, is it summer? No, it's fall. I don't even know what season it is.
It's Tuesday.
Where we live, it doesn't really, it still kind of feels like summer, but
it does. Actually, this last week has been hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hot in Hawaii this time. I mean, wherever we are this time of year.
If you really wanted to figure it out, you could easily.
Oh yeah, super easy. Barely any convenience.
but yeah. But anyway, it's fall and there's a bunch of shows. I think Tony and I both agree that it's regrettable that we agree. No, it's regrettable that we both agree that this season, much like last season, is kind of weak.
Yeah.
Again, I think the only difference is that this season has returning things that we both like, but individually we like.
Right.
For me, it's Demon Slayer, which we'll eventually get to new stuff.
We have returning things. We have continuing things, Aquatope.
Aquatope's still going, yeah. Which is good. And I'm kind of waiting to have a big chunk of that.
And then there's other shows that I think are good, but it's just not something that we talk about on the podcast, like Restaurant to Another World. What are we going to say? Oh, some customers come into the restaurant and they have some food and it's really good and bleh, right? Like that's it. That's the story every week.
Yeah.
So... but yeah, it's, I don't know, lackluster. Is that the right word? It's a little bleh, this season other than.
Yeah. And there's some things I didn't get around to checking out that maybe have proven to be good. I don't know.
Like what?
I wonder about that, arena, the cosmonaut. It's like a vampire astronaut. Do you remember that?
No, it sounds terrible.
Okay. But I mean, I don't know. It seemed like it could go either way. But, you know, I always wonder, you know, I just wonder if I'm missing FOMO, you know. But yeah, out of the stuff we're watching, for me, there's a handful of stuff. But I'm kind of doing this thing. I think we kind of both are of like, what do I want to catch up on this week? You know, have like a chunk of episodes to dig into.
Yeah, we had a week off and now we're just doing like, we're going to catch up on this and then we're going to catch up on the, and we just constantly falling behind on other things and catching up on some things. And I mean, that's just the way it's going to be this season because it's a shit season. Let's be honest.
Although the new JoJo's, not that you care about this, but the new JoJo's debuts.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't care. You're right.
But you know that a lot of people do, and that debuts on December, first week of December, December 1st, something like that. Hmm. It's within the first week of December on Netflix. Hmm. And I saw some people online being disappointed because, which I kind of get, but like, it's like shows that get dropped all at once. I guess it's not going to be a week-to-week thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's just there for you to binge, and so it won't get that week-to-week surge. And so some people were...
I'm trying to figure out the joke. I haven't got it yet, but it's something like, you thought it was on Netflix, but it's me, Dio! Is that the joke? Nice. Did I get it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the format.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, we're back into the show Blue Period, which is the art school show.
Mm-hmm.
And we follow our main character, Yaguchi.
Yaguchi. I'm just trying to mispronounce it.
Yaguchi. And his friends Prada and Fenty.
Ya Prada, ya Fenty.
but no, he's been inspired by art and is pursuing art school despite the fact that he's well aware he'll likely not make money doing it. And he may not even get in.
Yeah, likely won't even get into art school.
Yeah, and there's only one school that's but even he's worth like, going to.
He's like a really smart guy, so he's, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's smart. It's like he's very studious, I think. You know, yeah, it's like
studious.
He's a straight-A student, and so that's a metric for intelligence, I suppose. But he doesn't really, I guess that's the whole thing with him, is like he's not really passionate about studying. He just does it because he's supposed to. You know, he's just kind of like, listen to his parents, I guess. I don't, you know, that's what he seems like to me. And now he's been inspired by art, and so I just caught up on episodes.
Garfunkel?
Tony and I recently, but I just today caught up on episodes 3 to 6, which makes us current for the, you know, US Netflix release. Yeah,
I was caught up through 5 last week and then watched 6 this week.
Yeah. But yeah, watching a lot of that, like Tony was pointing out, there's a sort of a, you know, a familiar arc to a lot of the episodes.
I mean, this one kind of broke that. Episode six sort of broke the formula that I was talking about. But yeah, there is a sort of formulaic way in which the episodes unfold. I think, you know, it starts off like, you know, we're picking up from where we left off. We're covering the things that we need to cover to continue the story from there. And then we have like just a bit of a lull where he's like learning things and stuff, which isn't really exciting to watch him do that. But then like, there's always some big thing towards the end, some big hurdle, you know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
I guess, well written from the perspective of, you know, episodic, where, you know, it has like a proper act three where you actually suddenly care about what's happening, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, is he going to be friends with this guy? Oh, is he going to turn in a good piece of art? Oh, is this girl going to talk to him? And, you know, that kind of thing, right? There's always like something that's sort of being set up throughout the episode, and then it becomes important.
Yeah.
And then once it becomes important, the rest of the show is sort of about that. And, you know, he either succeeds or fails, usually succeeds because, you know, it's anime. And,
well, it's his story and he's, you know, there is struggle in there as well. But yeah, like as far as the episodes go, he's succeeding by the end oftentimes. But, and there's a clear trajectory in these episodes that we caught up on where he's getting better and better. Like it's kind of exponential growth, even though there are moments where he struggles and he has a lot of, like, we're in his head a lot. And that's what I was going to talk about, like the themes of, not only the themes of like what he's thinking, and he's like comparing his work to others and he's kind of getting down about it, but then pulling himself back up. Like he's very, I think that's what maybe why he's a straight A student, because he seems very scrappy. Like he, once he has a goal in mind, he knows that he's going to be discouraged, but he just works through it and he gets around it and he talks to people and he's pretty active and like trying to be better. And he's almost like, I don't know, he seems like a little too perfect sometimes. Just, I mean, it's like, yeah, he doesn't know everything. And so he wants to learn. But I admire it, but it's like, he's just so steadfast, you know, like, I'm like, geez, I would have given up long ago, but this guy's still going. And so, yeah, I guess that's the anime side of it. He's a protagonist. So he's just, he's going for it and he's getting it.
I mean, it's sort of set up in his character that like, that's what he does, because it's not like he's especially gifted at anything, right? He's really just very bland and average, but he has learned through his years of, you know, schooling, how to achieve results, how to take things in and turn them into the thing that he needs to succeed at whatever it is he's doing. Right.
Yeah.
And now he's applying that to art, and sort of like, I think a lot of the point is he's sort of finding out like it's not exactly the same, you know, with art, because like everything else, he could just take in the information and then regurgitate it essentially. Right. Yeah. And he's learning with art, like, oh, okay. So I've learned this new thing about art. I'm going to now use that and regurgitate it. And no one's impressed at that point, right? Because it's not good art. It's just, you know, copying someone else essentially, or focusing too much on one thing. So he's having to work to broaden that, to incorporate all of the elements at once which is not something that he's used to doing, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like it's introducing him to like a more complex way of looking at something, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like not even, and I like the parallels of that from, you know, there's the studious aspect of learning the techniques, the art techniques, you know, they do charcoal. Well, they do still life, and then there's oil painting, and then charcoal is introduced, and then they introduce the different ways you can use the charcoal. There can be different textures and different methods, and and he's constantly being challenged by his teachers and other classmates and superiors to kind of think outside of that, you know. So it's not just like study for the test and pass the test and then go into the next. Yeah, like yeah. But then it's also like there's parallels from that kind of some of that stuff to real life of like, you know, there's a beauty behind, you know, like something that's not an imitation, something that has part of you in it.
Right.
And that kind of goes beyond art and just being a person and kind of finding your, you know, your truth and your light. I don't know, not to get all metaphysical on us, but I don't, some of the things I like about the show where it's like, it's the focus, it definitely seems to be that about learning about why art is so great. And a lot of times he's like, cause he looks at the art from students who have made it into this college that he wants, the TUA, I think it is. Yeah. And so he thinks like, oh, like I need to make art that's like this, you know, but you know, he has a teacher like sit him down later and it's like, no, like you need to do what you need to do right by you. You need to like show your own essence or whatever that's brought up. Whatever you want to call it, but yeah. So I guess some of that stuff like can come off as kind of ham-fisted or rose-tinted or whatever, you know, something that's kind of grandiose. But I don't know. It speaks to me. Like it doesn't seem to be like a highfalutin show where it's talking down to you. Like he's such a simple, earnest guy. That it's kind of universal, I guess.
In that regard, yes. Some of the characters are over the top characterizations of, you know, what could be real people, I guess, but they're pushed a little bit too far. He's really the only normal everyman sort of person. And he's not normal by any means.
Yeah, he's weird too. But he goes into the art world already, you know, like as most of us would probably, having this this preconceived notion that art students are going to be strange and they're going to be like hard to talk to. And, and a lot, and in certain cases they are, but then he's surprised when like, oh, like he talks to this girl whose sister, you know, is older than her, a couple years older than her and got into the college and she's very successful. I don't know. People talk about her. And so she has all this weight on her and he finally, and she's got this weird hairdo. Where,
I'm trying to remember her name now. Kawana or something?
Yeah. So Kawana's club.
Yeah. No, not Kiwana.
Yeah. I think it is Kuwana. Kuwana.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. I think that's right. I don't know why her hair just turns into like a mullet at the back half.
Wait, what's her first name? Her sister said it or something.
I forget. And her sister's hair looks fine. I don't know what happened.
What do they call sushi that's rolled? Mako? Is that right?
Oh, Mako, yeah.
It's something like that. Maybe it's Miko. I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway.
But anyway, he sits down to have lunch with her at one point, and he literally says to her, like, oh, wow, you're not as weird as I thought you'd be or something. You're easier to talk to or something.
Despite her strange, crazy hair.
Yeah, and she was like, what? So I don't know. It's interesting. Yaguchi is like, I'm rooting for him, and I like him, but he's also kind of almost too simple and like too innocent, you know? Mm. He doesn't have any part of him like a normal teenager would have of like angst or like he's very earnest. He's 100% earnest to me where that's he's true. just like, oh, like, you know, somebody tells him something he doesn't know and he's not like, shh, screw you or I'm getting out of here or, you know, and then come around. Like, he's just like, no, what? How can I learn from this? And it's endearing, but it's kind of like, you know, for his age and everything.
That's true. I mean, he is set up as that character, even among his group of friends, you know, because they're troublemakers and he's a bit of a troublemaker with them, but he's like the most straight laced of that group or whatever, I guess.
I don't know if they just respect and love him dearly, but there's that, we watched the sixth episode together and there's that scene where it's New Year's Eve and you know, they're up late and Yaguchi passes out before all of them and they're all like standing above him passed out and they're like, oh, that guy. And they don't draw things on his face or like mess with him at all. And I was like, these are really nice high school friends.
I mean, in the age of cell phones, they probably all have pictures of, you know, their balls on his face.
Like
we didn't see that scene.
They've already just matured. You know, it's like, we've been there, done that. We did it 6 months ago. I mean, can we all move past this? All right. How many pictures do we need? I don't even know if I want my balls on your phone, bro. So,
well, no, you hand someone your phone. Oh, your phone. Take a picture of this.
But then there's two other buddies there and they're, you know, who knows what they're doing.
I mean, what are they? Pervs? What are they? Onizuka?
Just don't do it, folks. Don't do it.
Don't put your balls on your friends' faces.
No teabagging.
Take pictures of it.
No teabagging. Yeah. You don't want photographic evidence of the teabagging.
I mean, they'd have to identify your balls for it to be illegal, I think, right?
That's kind of the same argument when you're at a concert, right? It's like...
Don't teabag people at concerts. Is that what you're saying?
No.
I try not to do that.
When you're at the concert, you don't need to film it. Experience it. Be in the moment. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the teabagging and make the memory. You don't have to. You don't have to document it necessarily.
What about all your friends who couldn't be there?
You hear the tale. Mm. How much better is the tale than the actual picture of the? I mean, I've never actually seen a teabagging picture. No, I mean maybe in a movie or something.
But, I have one on my phone. Do you want to see it?
You're like, I got a whole folder.
Yeah.
Like you're in it. I mean, not the balls, but.
No, I only have one.
Oh, just one.
No.
One folder.
No, one picture.
Okay, and I'm not in it.
I don't know the name of the guy that got teabagged.
Like, I don't know if
my,
you're in
my
it.
Friend who asked me to take the picture, his name was Bruce. So shout out, Bruce. You're not listening. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
Bruce?
But I never did send you that picture, but it's still on my phone. So, you know,
wow.
If you are listening, hit me up. I'll send you that picture.
I told Tony that we should do more bits on the podcast, and I just assumed this was one, but it's not. But
oh no, it is. You want to see the picture?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Good. Anything else about Blue Period? You want to add there? We're still watching it both, I assume.
We already talked about teabagging, right?
Yeah, we had a whole teabagging bit.
Oh, okay. All right.
That got real.
What else? Nope, nothing else. I think we've covered it. Our blue period is over, and it's time to move on to a much darker period. The period known as... You're like mouthing words, but I don't understand. You weren't mouthing actual words. You were just mouthing like you were mouthing words?
It's almost like I couldn't communicate.
But she doesn't do that. She doesn't like move her lips and stuff.
I know. I was just trying... I thought you needed a hint as to where we were going.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Comey can't communicate. I watched this first episode and have not watched any since. But Tony has, and he's got some choice words about it.
I watched an additional two episodes. And so I'll watch through episode 3. I think episode 4 is out as of... this taping and, you know, when you're probably listening to it, maybe more, I don't know. But I mean, it's fine. It's not bad. It's just what it is, what it seems like from the very get-go, which is like a sort of light comedy about this girl that can't communicate and this boy that thinks she's pretty and becomes her only friend in the world. And the only way that she can possibly communicate with anyone is through him. And I don't know, like it's fine. It's just, it's a bit of a drag.
And she's also ridiculously popular too, right?
I mean, they say that. They say that she's popular in that everyone likes her, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But she's not popular in that she has any friends or talks to anyone or anything like that.
There's no real connection there. She's not fond of her.
Popular. Just everyone thinks that she's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's unable to talk to them.
Right. And so, I mean, it's thus far, the three episodes I've seen, it's basically the same story every week. There's a new person. Well, in the first week, it's our main character, boy, guy, Hito. is his name, I remember, who figures out this thing about Comey that she can't talk in front of other people or something like that, and then becomes her only friend and yada, yada, yada.
Chalkboard scene.
All the stuff that I said already. And then the next week is like, oh, hey, Comey, I know who you should be friends with. This person over here. This person gets along with everyone. This person will be friends with anyone. So Comey goes over and can't talk to this person. And then Hirohito has to come over and be like, oh, Comey wants to be friends with you. And this person says, oh, I can't be friends with her. And then Comey's all like, oh, this person doesn't want to be friends with me. And then we find out it's not that they don't want to be friends with you. It's that they think they can't be friends with you for some stupid reason that doesn't make any sense. And so that's episode 2 and episode 3 I have just described.
Wow.
And I assume episode 4 as well, which I haven't seen.
Yeah, that's...
So that's the story.
That's disappointing.
What's going to happen over and over and over and over. And, yeah, I don't know. It's, again, it's fine. It looks nice. The animation is nice enough. The art style is nice.
Yeah. Really nice. Yeah. Really nice.
And really, like, the story isn't bad because I do sort of, you know, want Comey to succeed. But it's just, it's monotonous. It's the same concept, the same jokes, the same, it's the same. I don't know if your mileage, varies, let us know. We always like to hear from people. Not that we ever do, but you know, oh, passive aggressive Tony is back again. Sorry guys.
I know. Yeah. And it was, you slipped it in there slyly, but then you had to address it as yeah, well, but yeah. Point it out. Yeah, that's disappointing. Cause I don't know. I was, conflicted about the first episode and I wanted it to kind of take these issues more seriously. Kind of personal to me, I guess, but it seems like it's just kind of doing more of the comedy thing, which doesn't mean that in later episodes it doesn't make a change or have some growth or something, but
at best in later episodes it pulls out, you know, a string quartet and, you know, tries to make you feel something by layering strings over the top of it. Emotional, this is air quoting, emotional scene.
I do like strings. But that's all they do, just the strings.
Yeah.
And then somebody like looking.
They set it up like an emotional breakthrough of some sort, but it's not really.
You get a lot of those noises where it's like,
Comey just said a word to someone else. Oh my gosh, this is an emotional breakthrough. When I was a child, I couldn't talk to anyone because blah, 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 blah. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I if it would have taken it, yeah, to a different level, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, the drama thus far is really, really light, if, you know, at all.
But I think in this case, you braved the sea, so I didn't have to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you still could.
I mean, I could, but there's just so much other stuff to watch, and I was already kind of thinking it wasn't going to go anywhere, so it kind of checks out for me. I just remember at the end of that first episode, the narrator being like, little does she know, this school is full of weirdos. And
well, little does he know, right?
Oh.
Because he's the one that promised to make her 100 friends.
So they're in this together, I guess. But yeah, this school is like...
full of crazy weirdos, man. Wackos, perverts, and I don't know what else. Yeah, whatever
dweebs
they said.
And psychopaths.
Freaks and geeks and...
and deaky deeks. Streaky beaks.
Tiki, tiki, tiki rooms.
Extra tiki.
I don't know. So that's Comey Can't Communicate. In a nutshell...
It would be hard to communicate in a nutshell.
I mean, if you know Morse code, probably not very hard, actually.
Yeah, but then you're relying on someone else to know Morse code on the outside of the...
Thousands of people know Morse code.
Thousands of people among billions.
Yep. Thousands.
Hey, honey, I reckon that's Morse code, but I don't know it.
You don't know Morse code?
No, honey, I can't say that I do.
Do you know sign language?
Well, I don't either.
Thousands of people know sign language. probably more than that, actually.
Is it the same thousand?
I wonder, actually. Like, there's some crossover there for sure, right?
Yeah. Morse code versus sign language. I would bet sign is more prevalent.
You think?
Among individual, yeah, just individually.
Yeah, could be. I don't know.
That's my guess. Just because it's more of a necessity.
I mean, sign language is more complicated. It would certainly be easier to learn Morse code because it's just spelling. It's alphabet, right?
Yeah.
So there's only so much that you need to know. Yeah. Whereas sign language, like, there are signs for more complicated ideas and stuff. Mm. To know it, I don't know, to what level, I guess. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. Fluency is there really a, I guess, fluency of Morse code is like you can just in real time interpret it.
Yeah. You just hear it like, I don't know what I just spelled, but someone is going to leave that in the comments.
And it was really rude, I'm sure.
It was at most three letters.
Subscribe if it was rude.
It might have only been two letters, actually, and I'm not sure.
If it was gibberish, leave an angry comment.
I don't even remember what I said. I'm trying to translate it myself.
If it was complimentary.
Because I do sort of know Morse code. And I can spell in sign language. I can spell sort of in both of those languages. Yep. Look, this is my name.
Yeah, he's just repeatedly flipping me off.
That's funny.
Oh, that was rude.
Can you spell your name in sign language, George?
I can do the same thing you did.
Yeah, spell your name. That's what I did.
Oh, now you want cameras.
I can spell your name in sign language.
He's doing it again.
Yep, that was your name.
Georg. All right, well, that brings us to our final topic, the anticipated Blade Runner, Black Lotus.
It is much anticipated.
Because it's Blade Runner, and I like both these directors. It's a co-directed project. I don't know if that is a good or bad thing, but both directors are accomplished. They both worked on different Ghost in the Shell stuff, among other things. But Ghost in the Shell, seems to me like a nice anime, you know, connection for Blade Runner.
Sure.
Things kind of varied, I think. They released two episodes. They did one of those debut things.
Mm. Spoiler alert, I only watched one. And just barely.
Just barely. And I watched both.
I considered turning it off many times throughout the first episode. But I didn't. For you, folks.
Yep. I watched both. Sorry. There's some things I like about it, but let's see what Tony thinks. Let's start there.
All right. So art-wise, the backgrounds are, you know, pretty gorgeous, and it borrows a lot of influence from the original Blade Runner movie.
For sure.
Very noticeably. That's everything nice I have to say about it. You want me to talk about the foreground art or the story or the characters or which of the things that I don't like should I talk about?
Yeah, that was one of the good things I was going to mention.
It's the only good thing as far as I saw. What else have you got? What do you think is good?
I like,
so that I can shit on it.
I like the main character design. I do. Especially when she's all assembled, right? Because she doesn't, when we first see her, she doesn't have her jacket and her, her sword. And
Katana, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I do like, and she's got that like ribbon in her hair. I think it looks cool. I don't know, but I mean, definitely when you start watching this, your first thought, as mine was, is like, well, this looks like
shitty 3D CG animation.
This looks like a video game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's shitty. Cause I thought
it's pretty shitty.
I thought it, when I was watching it, I was like, if this was a video game, I'd be like, oh, it looks pretty good. Like for video games.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know. Like, are you going to watch? I don't know.
But
maybe some people would watch however many episodes this is mm-hmm. of 23-minute cutscenes in a video game. Like, I guess that's not impossible, but at least you're playing a game in between.
Yeah.
Rather than just watching cutscenes. And that's, yeah, that's what it looked like. That's what it felt like was yes.
a... Not only does it look like that,
not well-animated video game cutscene. Like, not well-animated.
See, I disagree. I thought it looked pretty good. I mean, if that could, if that was, I mean, if it's all cutscene, I guess.
I disagree. It did not look good. In the 3D stuff did not look good.
Mm.
I think.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, continue. Sorry.
I think the characters themselves, like, there's something to be desired there. Like, it's not like, cause the backgrounds look so good, you know? So it kind of like accentuates how, you know, the shortcomings of the character, like, art.
Yeah. I mean, the character design art, I guess, probably fine as a still frame, right?
Yeah.
It's the motion that it all falls apart.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, I've seen worse. I mean, you know, that show X Arm was, I didn't watch all of it, but it was, you know, beautifully awful, you know, just a train wreck. It's so like, this is like, I think there's a level of competence, but it's like, it's just not as an anime equivalent, you know, it takes you out of it because it's like, it's not, you know, there's like, there's something lost there where it's, I don't know. It's just, it's not as immersive as like just watching a traditionally animated or, you know, even more closely, like, you know, resembling anime kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't have a super anime look to it, I guess. It looks like the Final Fantasy movie or, you know, a cutscene from a video game, right?
I think it
like
looks better than that stuff. I don't know how long it's you've been since you've watched some of that stuff, but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I would say that the character's hair movement in the Final Fantasy movie, which was how many years ago, looks better than in this show.
Yeah, the hair movement was...
And lip movement as well. Like our, so we've got our main character, who we've talked about a little bit. And then we've got our second main character, or who I think is probably the second main character, who we meet and has this sort of smile all the time, but is talking, and his teeth open just very slightly so that you can tell he's talking. But he's always smiling.
Yeah, it's like a video game.
It could be better.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But anyway,
I mean, if it was a video game, it probably would be better. Actually, it's just
Well, and I agree with you. Like, I'm not. I don't know. I guess we're shitting on this in a different level. You know, like, we both are.
I mean, I found it mostly unwatchable.
Mm. See, I didn't think it was unwatchable. I just thought it was like lacking. You know, I don't know if I'm going to continue watching it. We'll see. It wasn't super impressive, and I'm questioning the story in a lot of parts. But it did really it looked like a video game, but it also felt like one because right out of the box, this main girl, like, she's mysterious, doesn't remember her past and all this stuff, and she has this strange piece of tech. That they call that she's trying, you know, thinks would have a key to her.
It's called a MacGuffin.
Yeah. Pretty much. So it's like, whatever. So we, you know, we start with very little on her, and that's fine. That's a thing that happens. But then, like, she just starts getting involved in fighting, and she's really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds this guy, the guy you're referring to.
The fight scenes were poorly animated too. So
yeah, the fight scenes weren't great. I don't know. I don't think they were awful, but like, once again, for me, it just felt lacking. Like, it was like, there's like, I can see there's choreography going on, but there's just not, it's not like, you know, interesting. You know, it's not, I don't know. And they're just like diving into it. Cause like, even story wise, like, her first. She finds this guy, the guy you're referring to, that
smiles all the time.
Yeah, smiles all the time, and basically makes a deal with him that she'll go like murder these.
That's not what she says, but yeah,
that's what she does.
That's what she does. Yeah,
immediately, she's like, "Hey, I'll leave my MacGuffin with you, and I'll go. You know,
leave the MacGuffin so that you can figure out what it is, because you say that you can do that.
Yeah." And I'll borrow this sword.
Right.
And I'll go take care of these bad guys.
I'll make sure these people don't bother you anymore.
Yeah. And he calls them, like, I forget what it was. It wasn't this exactly, but it was
the translation was gangbangers.
Yeah, yeah. But he said, oh, just some friendly local gangbangers was the translation.
Right. Yeah. Just your everyday neighborhood gangbangers. Yeah.
So he didn't really seem to care that much, but she was like, I'll go take care of them. Mm-hmm. And you'll never have to deal with them again, is what I think she says. And she, that's just like, that's my point. It's like, that's her first, you know, instinct is I'll just go murder them and then we'll be good. Cause I don't have money. So I gotta perform a service. So I'll just kill. Cause that's, you know, there you go. And yeah, that was strange. And then that first episode is not good. I like the second one.
Yeah. And then she comes back and she's like, okay, I murdered the shit out of these people for you. How are you doing on my MacGuffin? And he's like, oh, I can't do anything with this, but I know a guy who can.
He's on the third floor or whatever, which is great. Just, but also I love that, like, where's your receipt? Like, oh, yeah, I did it.
Right.
I killed the guys. I thought that was funny. I thought, like, she would, like,
know their names. I guess the receipt would be that they don't bother him again, which is what she promised. So,
and I was almost expecting him to be like, all right, well, let's check back in like a few days, you know, like, cause these guys are a pain in my ass. And we'll see.
Yeah, and she only murdered like a few of them. Yeah. And then she told the other ones, hey, don't bother this specific person by name.
And she didn't even like do it dramatically. She just kind of offhandedly mentioned it as they were like,
as they were running
away. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, leave this guy alone.
Leave this guy alone. Now you know why I'm here and who sent me. I'm sure that won't come back to bite us in the ass.
Yeah, that was really dumb. Yeah, so it's not great. It's not great, and
it is not great. I agree.
It's not even good, but
it's also not good. I agree.
But there's something about it that I just want to know. I don't know. I haven't given up totally yet. Maybe because it's Blade Runner. Clearly, I wasn't as frustrated with watching it as you were. But maybe I'll get there. I don't know.
The story was just blah, and the 3D animation was bad. And I mean, overall, I would have to say it's a bad show, I think. Mm. You watched more story than I did. So, like, what happens in the second episode that would make me care enough to watch any more of this?
I mean, I don't think I can convince you, but
oh, okay.
Pretty much you find out that she's a replicant.
Not a surprise.
And she still doesn't know much else. And then at the end, she gets shot and she like falls over.
Oh, bummer, but she's a replicant. So,
but that's how the episode ends. And I liked it at least. And it's the guy that shoots her is the guy on the third floor or whatever that could maybe help her with the thing.
Oh.
And he's saying, this was good though. I like this as an ending to the second episode because he repeats the first line he says when he meets her, which like, oh, looks like trouble or something like that. She looks like trouble or I don't know, something like that. But yeah, he repeats that line after dramatically just shooting her in an alley. And that's how it ends. But it was so much, such a better ending than the first episode, which was the guy, as you set it up, the guy that smiles all the time, brings her up to the third floor or whatever to meet this guy. And he's passed out, like drinking, whatever, on the couch. And the guy says, oh, this isn't good. And then
it ends.
And then, yeah, that it cuts to credits of like, the guy was asleep.
Oh, this isn't good. He's been drinking and has passed out on his couch.
And no kidding, you start episode, you know, you get through the opening song. It just immediately is still in the same shot of them standing over him, waking, you know, and then they wake him
hey,
up.
Hey, dude, wake up. Oh,
what? Oh, shoot. Was it, does an episode just end?
Sorry, I was drinking and I passed out.
Did you guys let me sleep longer? Like, because the episode was going to end. So you didn't, like, that was sweet, you know? Now I can, like, kind of wake up a little bit. So yeah, that was not good. So I'll probably drop it, but I'll give it a third most likely just to see, you know, maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, but it's Blade Runner, man. I was looking forward to this thing. So that's part of it too.
Looking forward to it too, because it's Blade Runner. But yeah. I mean, as a fan of Blade Runner, I want to burn every copy in existence from existence so that no one else has to be as disappointed as I was.
That's kind of hard when it's streaming.
How lackluster and horrible it was in it general.
Destroy every computer or device it was streamed on.
Yes.
That's a lot. You get busy.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like a lot of work. I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying I want to.
Well, dear listener, what did you think of Blade Runner? Did you like it? Were you impressed by it?
Do you have a more correct opinion?
Are we full of it? Full of correctness, that is.
Yes, I am.
Well, no,
I'm so full of correctness that...
I disliked it as well.
Just not as much, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not, we're in agreement, but it's just to the severity or the degree to which
right
we agree, the degree to which we agree.
You seem to think it was mediocre, whereas I think it was bad.
God awful.
It is a detriment to the Blade Runner universe.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And it must be stopped at all costs.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
We are now starting a campaign.
That's right. GoFundMe /
a smear.
I don't know.
Go fund our smear campaign. This is how we make it. We don't have jobs, people.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we're anime co-hosts. I see where you're going with this. Yeah. So pay us because we're already doing the job we demand.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing the job. So now you have to pay us for it.
Yep.
I mean, you don't have a choice. You need to go get your parents' credit card.
This is the only anime COD podcast.
That's right.
We have delivered, and you must pay up.
You're listening. You need to pay us now.
Especially if you make it to the end of the episode.
I know, right? Yeah. What are you doing listening to it? It's been like an hour. You've been listening to this fucking trash.
You think you'd be rewarded? Nah, pay up. You know the links. Tony will tell you about them.
Umlikeanime.com. All the links are there. I'm not going to go through them. They're all there. Umlikeanime.com. UMLIKEANIME.COM. In case you didn't know how to spell com. Are you stupid?
Patreon's the one where you give us money. That's the only one you really need to know.
Well, there's a link from the website to Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a link to everything.
Yep.
Even our, what is it called? Ameba. Our Japanese blog that I created.
Ameba.
It's amoeba, basically, but it's
Amoeba Records. Ameba.
I don't think so, because it's Ameba.
What's in my bag?
But they call it, for short, they call it Ameburo, because it's Ameba blog, right? Burog. Anyway, there's that, if you want to read my poorly structured Japanese sentences that I have written on there. When I link to episodes. And if you don't, I don't care.
We love you. Each one of you. Cherish you.
Every one of you.
Mm-hmm.
All one of you.
I'm glad it's not a lot of people.
Every single one.
The love is
of you.
Short supply.
The one. Just the one. There's only one. There's probably more people listening, but... we don't love them. We just love that one person.
Well, we love them so much that it's on an individual basis. So you know who you are.
No, it's just the one person. There's only one person that's listening right now and that we love.
And they know who they are.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'm winking.
Guys. It's you.
I'm totally
winking. You know who you are.
I'm winking.
I'm not. Thank you.